Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Another week of the Hoosier Report, Thanksgiving week here, and glad to have you with us. Lots to get to. High school basketball finally gets underway this week. IU basketball in action tonight as the easy schedule. It's basically over for this Indiana team. I think tonight will be somewhat of a challenge for IU. We'll talk about that. Of course, we have Indiana football with a disappointing, not really the loss disappointing. I mean, it's somewhat expected. Yeah, there was hope that Indiana could maybe have a huge turning point with a win over Michigan in the Big Ten Conference, but just to be competitive, a lot like they were the week before against Penn State. In many ways, for this still-building football program, I think those type of performances, when they don't win but are very close to big-name, big-power schools, that's a victory in its own regard as they take baby steps forward. Over the weekend against Michigan, 14 points is all that the Indiana team could muster on the board against Michigan. Not really a great performance for the team. And, of course, now you wonder, will Indiana bounce back? Will they be able to make their way back against rival Purdue? Purdue has struggled. Purdue has been blown out a number of times recently. Injuries continue to play a part in that for the Boilermakers. But will Indiana come out and return to the team that they've been when they've played lesser level Big Ten opponents and have an opportunity to win and dominate the game? So we'll have to see about that, but definitely not necessarily the performance you would like to see against a class team in the Big Ten Conference on Saturday for Indiana football. Can they bounce back against Purdue? Obviously, they're headed to a bowl game no matter what happens there, and we'll talk some about that as well coming up here in just a bit. Busy program today. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Today, of course, in segment number one, we will have our Athlete of the Week announcement presented by Serdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. And then, of course, following that, we have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here today. Lots to get to in our headlines. We're going to talk IU basketball, IU football, not just the game on Saturday, but Indiana and their bowl projections now that we are heading into the last week of regular season college football. And Indiana got a somewhat important commitment yesterday for the future. We'll talk about that coming up in our headlines segment as well. Later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us. We'll start with football and recap what was a dismal loss for the team, really a performance more than anything offensively, 14 points for this Indiana team in that contest. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about tonight's matchup in basketball. We'll preview Indiana and Louisiana Tech. Again, I said this a few times throughout the month, Louisiana Tech on paper, definitely the best team that Indiana has played so far this season when they tip off tonight. And Louisiana Tech has had a good start to this season as well. A formidable mid-major program. This team kind of reminds me of some of the other good mid-major teams out of the state of Indiana. They play that way that we've seen, Indiana State when they've had good teams. Evansville, of course, Valpo, that sort of team with a lot of understanding of the game. So interesting contest tonight for Indiana. I think I saw they were an 11-point favorite. So that tells you, at least on paper, that this game is projected to be a little bit closer than a lot of the other games that they've played so far this season, but we'll talk about that with Zach Osterman when he joins us as well. And we may get into some recruiting stuff because I know that Indiana fans, as this season moves forward and gets ready to take a big step up in the schedule, Indiana fans thinking to next year and this 2020 class and where it stands with three players, two from in-state, one from prep school up in New England. And what are some of the needs and availabilities and openings for that class that could be filled later in the spring or maybe through a transfer or graduate transfer? So if we have time, we'll touch on some recruiting stuff with Zach today as well. Later in the program, on this Monday show, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA board member representing our area. He joins the program. We talk local sports as always on Monday. I know that Chad is excited, like me, and I'm sure like most of you listening, about the start of the high school basketball season. I guess today is officially the start of games when you can legally play. It seems like a number of years ago, maybe there was a Monday night game in the area that I can't remember. But today or this season and in recent seasons, Tuesday night is a pretty good night for hoops in the area. Most schools get out on Tuesday for Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving break Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So you get a decent slate of games tomorrow night. Probably none better locally than Christian Academy hosting Floyd Central. That's a game that we'll have on the Big X for you tomorrow night. In fact, Lee Kelly and myself will be on the call of that game. Just look forward to getting back in the gym and seeing some of our local players. And, of course, that game tomorrow night offers an opportunity to see some of the good local players. And really two teams that I think have probably aspirations to do something this season. Floyd Central, a lot of people wonder what they'll be like. After last year, that was kind of their noted team that had the opportunity to make a run. But I tell you, Floyd's going to be good, led by Jake Hydebreeder, some other players as well. And, of course, Christian Academy in 1A, if they can put it all together, they have a great chance to do some damage there as well. So a big challenge for Christian Academy and a nice opening season challenge, I think, for Floyd Central as well to see where they're at and where they're headed here early in the season. And we'll have that game for you tomorrow night live on the Big X with our pregame coverage coming on about 7:05 tomorrow night. That is the lineup, the show lineup. It is brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. With the hustle and bustle of the upcoming holidays, don't forget to order your Honey Baked Ham or turkey to complete your family gatherings. Call the store at 812-941-9426 or stop by at 3602 Northgate Court in New Albany. Honey Baked Ham bringing you the show lineup each day on the program. Let's take a look at our Athlete of the Week. It's presented each week by Serdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Been fun the last couple weeks. We've had the opportunity to highlight some girls basketball standouts in between football and the boys basketball season. Not that we won't come back to some great girls performances for Athlete of the Week, but this has kind of been 3 weeks for them or so to get their season started and be the lone standout in the area as far as high school sports go. And once again, we had another number of great performances in girls basketball here in the area. But one really stood out to us as we look at our Athlete of the Week presented by Serdano's each week. Silver Creek's Alana Striverson. She had 10 points against New Albany last Saturday night in a big win for her team, 59-36. She came back on Tuesday, had 11 points in a 34-24 win over Charlestown, where Silver Creek got off to a slow start. And then on Friday of this past week, 19 points in a big, big win for Silver Creek as they defeated Jeffersonville in a battle of two of the good, great teams really this season in girls basketball, 65-60, the final score in that game. So a very consistent week leading up to the Jeffersonville win, and then a big performance to help her team in that Jeffersonville game. Alana Striverson is this week's Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Serdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Serdano's Pizza Parlor, hometown pizza at its best. Their pizza is thin crust, made to order, and sliced in squares. Serdano's is squarely the best, and Alana Striverson will receive a free 14-inch pizza from Serdano's in Sellersburg for her great week last week in girls basketball. And I tell you what, Coach Shane, Scott Shane at Silver Creek, he's got a good team. They are really good. I got a chance to see him last weekend play against New Albany. And, of course, Jeff is good. Nan Garcia is terrific. And the Red Devils got a big win over Bedford North Lawrence over the weekend after the loss to Silver Creek. But the Dragons of Silver Creek, we talk a lot about their boys team and some of their prospects on that team that obviously are college prospects led by Trey Kaufman. Don't count out the girls team. They've got some new faces on that team and some key returning faces as well, a really good mix. And if they continue to get better from where they're at right now, by the time tournament time gets here, they are going to be a tough out and a team themselves that have a chance to make a run locally in the state tournament as well. But congratulations to Alana Striverson. She's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Let's get into our headlines, our Zaxby's headlines with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany, a look at the top news in Southern Indiana sports and IU sports as well, and a number of things to get to today. Indiana and Louisiana Tech tonight. I mentioned that this could really be and should be, I think, if you look at this Louisiana Tech team, the first big challenge for Indiana of the season. A lot of cupcake games so far. A lot of, to be quite honest, bad Division I basketball teams that Indiana has taken on so far this season. Louisiana Tech, they enter Assembly Hall tonight with a 4-1 record. It's an 8:30 tip-off, which means pregame coverage here on the Big X with Don Fisher. Starting lineups, including an interview with Archie Miller, it will begin at 7:30 tonight. This really marks the start of a tough schedule for Indiana. And you might say, gosh, it's not been tough so far. It's getting ready to get tough. Indiana with Louisiana Tech. Then they drop off a little bit before returning back in early December with Florida State and some early Big Ten Conference games. Things are really going to change. And just in a matter of weeks, really two and a half, three weeks from now, when we talk every day on this show about IU basketball and when we interview our IU experts each day, I think we're going to have a much better understanding about this Indiana team and truly what their challenges this season will be and truly their strengths, what's going to go well for them this season. I think we'll have a much better understanding of that after a few of these big games forthcoming. Louisiana Tech, they're in Conference USA, and they are marked in the preseason at least as a contender for that conference championship. They went on the road this season against Creighton. They did lose that game, but it was close, a 10-point loss for Louisiana Tech at 82-72. And again, names that you'll probably hear tonight, Daquan Bracey. He is Louisiana Tech's key returning scorer. He was named to the Conference USA all preseason team, 5'10" guard. He averaged somewhere around 11 points a game last season and is coming into the season as their key scorer and probably their key focus on the offensive end of the floor as well. Also, they've got a couple other names to pay attention to tonight. Jacoby Pemberton, he is a 6'5" redshirt junior. Derek Jean, a 6'2" senior. And another redshirt junior, 6'3", Caleb Ledoux, who comes in as those key players tonight for this Louisiana Tech team. So definitely a different challenge if you look at things on paper for this Indiana team than what they have seen so far this season. I mentioned that Indiana is an 11-point favorite when I looked this morning in that game, which is much closer of a spread than any other Indiana game so far this season. Also, tonight, if Indiana can muster a win at home against Louisiana Tech, and you sure would, even if it is a tougher game, would expect them to be able to do so, this would give Indiana their best start since the 2012-13 season, and all time Indiana has a 2-0 record against Louisiana Tech. Again, this would give them their best start since 2012-2013. Pretty sure if you go back and look at the schedule that year, it was a little more challenging in the month of November up to this point than what it has been. But still, Indiana is a program right now that is looking to build momentum, looking to build up on roles and who's going to do what for the upcoming season, the big games, I should say, of the upcoming season. And so all of these outings are big for this team as they try to put stuff together. Next headline, Calbert Chaney. Awesome to see him last night enter the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame. Definitely someone that has got a little closer to the Indiana program in recent seasons than maybe what he has been. He was back at Hoosier Hysteria earlier this year, and of course Sunday night inducted in Kansas City to the Hall of Fame in college basketball. Evansville Harrison product, obviously Hoosier State native, 13-year NBA career, averaged 9.5 points a game in his NBA career, and obviously known for some of his big seasons on Bob Knight's teams in the early 90s, led Indiana to a 1992 Final Four. Just his list of college accolades and what he was able to get done both as a teammate and as an individual star in college basketball is amazing. Truly the great, if not one of the great, all-time Indiana basketball players. Juwan Morgan is our next headline. some really good news for him. He has joined the Utah Jazz roster after a couple really good weeks of playing with the G League team for Utah Jazz, which is located in Salt Lake. They're the Salt Lake City Stars. He signed an Exhibit 10 contract to first hook up with Utah and then was assigned back to their G League team. But great to see him bounce back to the NBA. We'll see what type of minutes and what type of role he's going to have. But just for him to get in the NBA, I think is big stuff for him. A lot of IU fans very hopeful that this opportunity would happen. It does for Juwan Morgan, and obviously big stuff for him. IU football, we're going to talk more about the loss coming up here in just a little bit with Zach Osterman. But Indiana did get a big commitment over the weekend from an offensive lineman from the state of Ohio. His name is Vinny Scurry, and 6'4", 300-pound from Massillon, Ohio. I think I said that right, Massillon Perry High School in Ohio. Took an unofficial visit this past weekend for the Michigan game. He had been offered a week earlier than that, initially committed to Toledo, then reopened his recruiting for some opportunities from bigger football programs, and ultimately with a quick decision for the Hoosiers. Sounds like a good pickup for Indiana for the forthcoming seasons. Also, college football bowl projections. The chance was there if Indiana could upset a Penn State or upset a Michigan to really jump their bowl selection or their bowl pick or bowl opportunity, maybe is the best way to say it. Obviously, that didn't happen. Indiana needs to make sure they beat Purdue this weekend to close out the regular season on a solid note. But looking at all the projections out there, if you tally them up, there are four guesses that Red Box Bowl will be the destination for IU football. Now, Indiana football was just there a few years ago. I think it was three seasons ago. They played Utah. Attendance in that game was not very good, so it'll be interesting to see if Red Box truly is a potential home for Indiana when all this is decided. Armed Forces, the Armed Forces Bowl, there were two projections of Indiana going to that bowl. One projection for IU to the Music City Bowl, which it would be my choice of that level of bowls down in Nashville, a good setting and a good opportunity there. And the Pinstripe Bowl, one projection of that. And, of course, Indiana also had the opportunity to play in that bowl a number of seasons ago as well. That's a look at the headlines brought to you each day by Zaxby's here on the program. Zaxby's does catering. Don't forget that around the holiday times. Party-sized platters of your favorite appetizers, entrees, and sides. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Once again, a shout-out to Alana Striverson, a new face on the Silver Creek girls basketball team. She had a big week last week, double figures in three games, including 19 points as Silver Creek got a really early season, kind of a marker win over Jeffersonville in that contest, and she's our Athlete of the Week here on the Big X, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU football. We'll recap the loss. We'll take an early look at Purdue, their final regular season game. And, of course, we'll preview IU basketball game tonight against Louisiana Tech. That and more coming up with Zach. This is the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday edition of the program, the Hoosier Report, brought to you each day by CC Power Sports. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas at CC Power Sports. They're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can find out more about this Christmas special at ccpowersports.com. Hoosiers.com. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays on the program to talk IU basketball, football, and more. And Zach, I think we start today with IU football. Not surprised the football team lost, but a little surprised they only could find 14 points on the offensive side of things and get beat pretty bad by a good Michigan team.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think the one thing that maybe got lost in it, in the buildup, was how good Michigan is, and certainly how good Michigan's been in the last few weeks. I mean, if you include the IU game, Michigan's won its last four by a combined 121 points. And the Indiana game is actually the narrowest margin of victory in that stretch. The others are all 35 points. So, you know, I was probably among those that, even from kind of a more objective point of view, looked at Michigan in, you know, September, early October, and thought, you know, that team seems to really be struggling to move the ball, struggling to find its offensive rhythm, struggling to score points. That's a game Indiana could compete in down the road.
Hey, Zach, we're having a little problems hearing you. I don't know if you're connected to a piece or something, but we're having a little problems hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
A lot better now.
There we go. No, I was saying I was probably among those that saw Michigan playing early in the year and thought, you know, the way they're struggling to move the ball, the way they're struggling to kind of get their new offense in rhythm, you know, this could be a favorable matchup for Indiana. And I think what kind of happened was everybody got lost in their own season and sort of maybe failed to recognize that Michigan's playing some of the best football in the league right now. And Indiana, I thought, was holding its own. And then Peyton Ramsey took that shot. And I think by the end of the game, he looked pretty well back to, I don't want to say full strength, but back to his comfort zone. But I thought there was a crucial stretch there from about the time he took the hit, which I think would have been maybe late first quarter, through halftime into the third quarter, where Indiana's offense just was not clicking. And if this was a game that Indiana was going to win or was going to compete in, it was going to have to be, and I said this many times in the buildup, a game where Indiana played its own game. Indiana scored a lot of points. I didn't see it being a game Indiana could win with the way Michigan has been playing, you know, 21-14, 24-17, something like that, especially not once the weather cleared up. And so it just, you know, Indiana kind of lost its offensive mojo at the point in the game where it couldn't afford to. And I know the defense didn't play particularly well in a lot of people's eyes, but I actually thought, you know, Indiana's defense was probably deserved credit for the score only being one touchdown into halftime. But you just sort of felt like the dam broke somewhere there in the third quarter. And by the time Indiana seemed to get its offensive legs underneath it at least a little bit more, kind of in the second half, even without Matthew Bedford and Stevie Scott, the game was kind of, you know, the result was well out of sight. And Indiana, by the end of the game, I think understandably was looking ahead toward Purdue and pulling Peyton Ramsey, pulling Ty Freifogel, pulling Stevie Scott, players like that. So,
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. We're talking IU football. I guess if you're an IU fan following this team, you go to Penn State, competitive, but can't get it done. Still positive performance overall. Michigan, not as much. Basically a blowout loss on your home field. You don't want this setback, this 1 week of setback, to derail anything, of course, against rival Purdue to close out the regular season or moving forward with a bowl game opportunity coming, no matter what happens the rest of the way for Indiana football. Bouncing back next week against Purdue, I know it's a rival game, and I know the old cliche that you can throw the records and everything out the window when these type of rivalry games take place, but I think it's probably a pretty good bounce back opportunity for Indiana, given how Purdue with injuries and just not playing well, given where they're at this season.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that Purdue can give Indiana trouble. Purdue can throw the ball. Obviously, David Bell has really come on in the second half of the season, probably going to win Big Ten Freshman of the Year, I would think. So Purdue will have two in a row. I'll admit to not having looked at my own ballot yet, but I mean, he's, you know, in the running to be the leading receiver in the conference as a freshman. That'll usually put you there. Indiana's now suddenly got some injury problems of its own. You know, Matthew Bedford, I would say at this point we don't know a diagnosis, but just having watched kind of the way that injury unfolded, I'd be very surprised if he played. So now you're down to probably Caleb Jones at left tackle and Devondre Love at right tackle. You're now down to your third left tackle of the season. We don't know how Stevie Scott's going to be. We can presume Peyton Ramsey's going to play, but if you're Indiana, you need Ramsey at his sharpest in a game like this for all the obvious reasons. And so you're worried, you know, how banged up was he after last weekend? And if there's one thing I would say about injuries, I know Purdue's had a ton, but Indiana's a fresher. And so what I mean by that is Purdue's had time to work through, you know, some of his injury problems, figure out how to compensate for not having certain guys. And it was telling to me that this was a Purdue team that was still moving the ball and still scoring points on Wisconsin last weekend. So you don't know exactly what you'll get from Purdue. You know, they're not bowl eligible now. How fired up will they be? You are still dealing with a walk-on quarterback and all those different sorts of things. But, you know, if I'm looking at this game kind of from a neutral perspective, I think it's tricky for Indiana. I really do. And I think it's the kind of game that maybe determines a little bit, and maybe this is unfair, I don't know, but determines a little bit of how this season is remembered, because now you suddenly sort of got the frustration of not having knocked off a big ranked team to kind of give you that signature moment in this season. You lose to your rival. You finish 7-5 after starting 7-2. I think it does take a little bit of the shine off it, again, whether that's fair or not. And then the other thing I'd say, too, is as much as we can talk about these, and I went on a, I think, dozen tweet thread over the weekend about how murky the Big Ten bowl picture is. You need a win to keep yourself in prime position for bowls, because if you win and Iowa loses, all of a sudden you guys have the same record. If you lose and Iowa wins, all of a sudden, if you're Indiana, you're in that two-game sort of behind slot that the Big Ten does not tend to jump when it goes from kind of, you know, one team. If the Big Ten's looking to maybe set up a favorable matchup, it's not going to jump a team that's got two fewer wins than another team to get them into that bowl. So from Indiana's perspective, it's also important to get a win this week and to just keep putting yourself in good bowl positioning as well.
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU football, the subject. We'll get to IU basketball, their game tonight coming up here in just a few moments. I was going to ask you about bowl games. You touched on that some. Looks like a lot of projections out there for Indiana to the Red Box Bowl, at least as we head into the final regular season week of football. Indiana was just there, and if I remember correctly, the attendance for that game was not great. Will the Red Box Bowl be willing to go back with Indiana again after the experience three years or so ago, or does that kind of stuff play any factor into this?
Yeah, I honestly, I think it kind of works in the other direction. I don't think Big Ten attendance has ever been great at that bowl, which is understandable. It's the only West Coast bowl the Big Ten has. In fact, I think like the next furthest west that you can go as a Big Ten program in a bowl game might be Nashville or Detroit. I'm not sure. I'd have to look at that. I'd have to actually plot all the bowls out on, you know, on a map. But like, I mean, there's a bunch down in Florida. There's obviously the Pinstripe Bowl in New York, and then there's the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit. And you could, in theory, go to the Music City Bowl in Nashville. My point being, every other Big Ten bowl tie-in is, I know Nashville's in central time, but is in the eastern sort of seaboard area where flights aren't that expensive and travel's not that difficult. And in some cases, you could probably even drive it. Santa Clara is just one that I think everybody in the Big Ten sort of feels like. I'm sure there are some schools that have drawn better than others, but I think everybody just kind of feels like you sort of have to swallow it from an attendance perspective. And then you get to, you know, match up with a Pac-12 opponent. You usually get good matchups. It's just very tough for your fan base to travel. I think a lot of, and I don't want to speak, you know, too directly for national folks who are putting these bowl projections together, because there's a lot of work that goes into it. I do think that there is a lot of, at this moment in time, just sort of slotting teams in terms of saying, well, you know, we expect Indiana to finish roughly here in the Big Ten. That means they would land in this part of the Big Ten bowl tier. And we think the most likely place for them to go in that case is the Red Box Bowl. I don't think that a school can necessarily just tell a bowl no flatly. I do believe fairly strongly, as of what I know right now, that if Indiana had to repeat one of its recent bowls, it would be the Pinstripe Bowl, not the Red Box Bowl, for basically the reasons I mentioned, which is that Indiana sort of, I think, first of all, if Indiana had to go to that tier of bowl, It would probably be sort of the first pick in that group of teams. And you'd probably be allowed, if you were Indiana, to say, you know, hey, we'd like to at least be able to choose what we're going to do. And we drew well in New York. We had a good experience in New York. We'd like to go back to New York. The other thing I would say, too, is a lot of these bowls are in the last year of their agreements. And so there's kind of a lot of weird moving parts because there's a lot of places where, you know, certain bowls can't pick certain teams. And so does this force a bowl to take this team when it would be more likely to take that team, et cetera. If you made me make a prediction, and I'm a little bit loath to do it, but I guess I just put myself in that position. Forgive me. I still think the Music City Bowl is going to make a lot of sense for Indiana. Frankly, maybe even with a loss this weekend. You know, the Music City Bowl and Indiana are an obvious pairing. It would probably take some maneuvering to do it. But again, you're in the last year of a lot of these agreements. You have the SEC is not going to be able to fill all of its bowl spots. You know, you don't know kind of what all the moving parts will be with the New Year's Six and the playoff and all that sort of stuff. All of a sudden, you know, I can make you probably a credible case that Ohio State could lose this weekend, get into the playoff, and then Michigan's playing in the Rose Bowl. And so there's a lot that can still kind of change and a lot that can still fall out. But it does strike me that the Music City Bowl president and CEO was in Bloomington on Saturday night. And I don't think you make a trip like that just in case. I don't think that's a, hey, let's go just in case. And so I'm not saying it's guaranteed. And I think that, again, Indiana's in a situation where they would have a much stronger case for a bowl like that if they, or at least for the allowance to kind of choose their own destiny, so to speak, if they win this weekend. They lose this weekend, and I think it starts to get out of Indiana's hands a little bit. But if they win this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised to see Indiana in an unconventional sort of bowl arrangement somewhere, whether it be Nashville or somewhere else. And I will say this, I would be surprised, not ruling it out completely, but I would be surprised based on what I've heard to see Indiana back in the Red Box Bowl. I don't believe that will happen, but again, you know, it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, this is the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. IU basketball tonight, I guess, for a schedule so far that has not been exciting and hasn't had any big matchups or marquee games, tonight's game for me feels like really a big one for Indiana. It's at home. It's against a mid-major team. But everything I've seen about Louisiana Tech points to the fact that they should have a really good year in Conference USA. They've got a handful of really solid players. They did some good things last year. They're expected to do maybe even more this year. And Indiana could be challenged at home. I think Indiana, an 11-point favorite I saw this morning. So I think all the questions that I've been asking guys like you that come on this show about defense or about who's going to fill what role or how this person's going to fit in, I think tonight we'll see against a much more quality team than what we've seen so far some of those potential answers as we gear up for a bigger schedule in the month of December.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was always the game that was expected to be kind of the most challenging in this month. I was flipping back through a few weeks ago, kind of like just a quick look at conference projections. I think Louisiana Tech was picked to finish third in Conference USA. And I think that was the highest projected finish for any of Indiana's November opponents in their own conferences. As you mentioned, Louisiana Tech's been good in recent years. That's obviously where Mike White was before he went to Florida to replace Billy Donovan. And it's a program that's been able to kind of build some sustained success. And I think from Indiana's perspective, it probably comes at a good time. And I don't know if Indiana maybe would have thought when it scheduled South Dakota State it would get something a little bit better. Probably not, given the coaching change and the graduation of Mike Daw. But you know, this is the game that you can really kind of gear up for. You haven't played since Wednesday, so you have 5 full days basically to prepare for it. This is the game that you kind of even maybe tell your team at some level, hey, listen, these guys are closer to what we'll be playing in December than what we've been playing in November, and we need to be locked in for that. You go in, you figure out a way to win this game. I think they're a KenPom top 100 team right now, which probably gets some guys' attention as well. Then you can come out of that and have a full week almost to get kind of rested and whatever around Thanksgiving, And then you play South Dakota State, another team that probably not guaranteed, but probably is a fairly comfortable win for Indiana at home to gear you up for Florida State's visit in the middle of next week. So I think from IU's perspective, it's a well-timed game. I think it should be a challenging game, at least on paper. And I think it's going to be maybe the first time that we see this team not tinker so much, maybe the first time that we see this team sort of playing to win more so than playing to win while trying to figure things out, if that makes sense. This is kind of the, you know, this is the dress rehearsal. This is when I worked at the Indiana Daily Student, I don't know why we ever called it this, but the last couple days of the outgoing semester, the new staff of the paper would take over and we called it dry runs. It was your chance to go through the entire process of putting the paper together with your counterparts from the previous semester there to tell you how everything was done. And it was basically on you to get the paper out, but with a little bit of help. This is kind of that for Indiana. This is Indiana's chance to really kind of use this as a simulation for everything that's coming after December 1st. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see what Indiana does with this game.
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, you know, we've talked about this team's problems or potential problems. We've seen some good things happen. Really impressed with Trace Jackson Davis, and we really haven't seen this team healthy, to be quite honest, and maybe seen the true starting lineup on the floor together much, if at all, for this season. I think that with all that said, to an opportunity like tonight, and I think everybody's expected to play. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but if that's the case and everybody does play, and then over these first few games in December against Florida State and the Big Ten games, you see Indiana's full lineup out there, I really think in 2-3 weeks from now, we'll all have a much better read on this Indiana team than what we have now.
I think that's fair. Somebody told me this, and I have not gone back to check it, but it may be possible. They think that if Deron Davis had been available for the game Wednesday night, that would have been the first time that every scholarship in Archie Miller's tenure at Indiana, that he had every scholarship player available to him. I'm not positive about that. It certainly fits last season because Jerome Hunter missed the entire year. So all of last year's already kind of taken care of in that statistic. I'd have to go back and look at 2 years ago and figure out if that's the case or not. But I definitely agree with you that I think 3 weeks from today, we've got a much sort of better sense of where Indiana is and frankly, what Indiana is. But I also think that we're going to get, again, like I think about tonight, I'm talking about, you know, obviously we're talking on Monday, I'm talking about the Louisiana Tech game Monday night. I feel like you're going to see less, or I feel like it's possible you're going to see fewer rotations and things where you're like, what is Indiana trying to achieve here? I think this is the game where you start to get a better sense for this is what Indiana would like to do when it needs to do this on the floor, and these are the combinations Indiana would like to have on the floor when it tries to do this, and this group of players seem to be really good at making this happen versus making this happen. Here's your small ball lineups, here's your big ball lineups, things like that. I think that if Indiana is full strength tonight, if Deron Davis is back from his back problem, and nobody else has, you know, picked up an injury or strep throat or something in the intervening time, then I think we do start to get at least a firmer sense of kind of what to think of Indiana, I guess, going into those games, going into your Florida States, your Wisconsins, your UConns, and then you come out of that the other side and you're able to say, okay, here was what we thought Indiana was very clearly trying to do. Here's how much of it worked and how much of it didn't. Now what does Indiana do next, if that makes any sense, kind of getting into Nebraska and then obviously Notre Dame and Arkansas to finish out the portion of December that's a little bit quieter because of Christmas break and finals and all those different sorts of things.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, helps us get the week kick-started here on the show. Lots of great insight on IU football and basketball as well. Zach, again, thanks for all you do coming on the program. Happy Thanksgiving later this week. Enjoy the time with your family, and we'll look forward to another chat next Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. High school basketball starts tomorrow night in the area with games throughout the week, including after the Thanksgiving holiday as well. And there are some big ones this week. We'll talk about that and more with Chad next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back to Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports. Chad Gilbert, always with us Mondays. We talk local sports to close out the program. And Chad, a great week as high school basketball officially gets underway with some big games. Starting Tuesday night, we'll see a lot of our area schools in action. But before we talk about good news and exciting times, there's been a story coming out starting Friday night, and I'll let you talk more about it, with a local athletic director, Coach Bowsman from West Washington High School, which is just a little bit outside of our coverage area as far as high school sports on this program or really even this station go, but somebody that's well-known and recognized as a great high school football coach and also a really good athletic director, having some tough times right now. And, in fact, school today closed with West Washington Community Schools as he has suffered a stroke in the game on Friday, and not sure how he's going to come out of this, but our thoughts and prayers to the West Washington community, Coach Bowsman and his family as well. Someone, Chad, that I know that you know and can speak about a bit, but also had the opportunity to work with in your job as athletic director many, many times.
You know, Philip was one of the best coaches, one of the best athletic directors. He's one of the best people you'd ever want to be around. You pray and you think about his family as they go through this tough time. And he's someone that, you know, when I was 16 years old playing in Salem, Philip was on the little team then. So we got a relationship that many years back. And he's friends with Hank Whedon up there. That, you know, they used to play basketball together quite a bit. And Neil Coyle, who was up there coaching, they were neighbors for 8 years. And got to know Philip really well. He's a, you know, a great person. And someone that he's done such a great job in that community that, you know, you're taking 2 days off, that supporting his family as they go through this tough times. And it's one of those deals that you just thoughts and prayers go out to the whole Bowsman family.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a very sad situation. Lots of good moments come from high school sports for our local communities and schools and athletes. And this is one that's just very heart-wrenching, but again, our thoughts and prayers from the Big X and from this show out to Coach Bowsman and the West Washington community. Tough time right now. Chad, that said, high school basketball does begin this week, and tomorrow night I'm excited about Floyd Central Christian Academy. I know you guys have some interesting games as well, and of course this weekend you look at New Albany taking on Bloomington South, Jeffersonville, they go to Cincinnati and will take on a very good team from the state of Ohio, from the Cincinnati area, and there are some other games that mark this opening week of high school basketball that are going to let a lot of us know and a lot of these coaches know where their teams stand right out of the gate.
You know, and that's the exciting part of it. Coaches want to be better in March than what they are right now. And when you think about that stuff, you've got a lot of kids, especially at the bigger schools, that have been playing high-level basketball in the summer or in leagues throughout the fall. And it's almost like you're changing sports when you come into high school basketball because the games are called a little different. The games are played a little bit different. The games are a little bit longer, you know, and the kids have to adjust to getting their legs under them. They have to adjust to the officials. And they have to adjust to, you know, just the atmosphere. Because when you're playing in those games, we'll say summer games, the object of that game for those officials and whoever's run that tournament is they want to make sure that game on court A is done at 1:55 so the next game can start at 2. So they're rolling on a clock down there. Where these games, officials, coaches, fans, they don't care. That game starts at 7:30. They don't care if it's done at 11. You know, they're going to have a great basketball game where the rules are followed to a T. and the teams are allowed to compete. So that's a little bit different, and I think it takes coaches a little time to get adjusted to that. I think it takes players a little time to get adjusted to that. But that being said, what a venue. Man, there's going to be some great games this weekend. As far as the high school season goes, I don't think you can ask for any better. And you're going to see where a lot of teams are at. You know, it's going to be exciting to see where Jeffersonville is after their first game coming in. I think New Albany at Bloomington South is going to be exciting. You think about that Christian Academy Floyd Central game is going to be huge. Rivalry games with Scottsburg and Austin, Charlestown, New Washington, Madison, Southwestern. A great way to kick off your season. That's a great way to jumpstart your season. But on the backside, one of those teams, each one of those games we talked about, has to lose. So as a coach, you got to be able to regroup, bounce back, and try to get focused for the next game.
Yeah, no question about it. Chad Gilbert, my guest, talking about the opening week of high school basketball. Chad, something just special, and maybe people think I'm weird for saying this, but there's something special to me the first couple times you're in a gym for an official game to start the season. I guess as you get into it a little bit, it becomes more common suit. But just, this is a special week. Holiday week, school's always short this week. You've got a couple days to deal with as opposed to a week, whether you're a teacher, a coach, or a student, or a parent. You know, the Thanksgiving holiday's coming up later this week. Just kind of a festive time, and it's always marked the start of the season for me.
Oh, absolutely. You think about when you walk in that gym, Matt, how you kind of got that buzz. And before the game, when you get there early on the bus, you usually get there 45 minutes before the JV starts. And the other team's warming up a little bit. They got the music playing a little bit. You smell that popcorn going. You kind of get goosebumps on your arms as it goes along. And as the gym gets more crowded, and the varsity game tips off, you know it's time to go. And it's something that's exciting. It's something that every team in the state has worked up to from last season, and they want to put their best foot forward and see what happens. So it's, you know, it is an exciting time. It's a great time for fans. It's a great time for communities, but most importantly, it's a great time for players.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and an IHSA Executive Board member, our guest. Chad, just a great time as well for sports. I know you and I have talked about this some, but we've got college basketball rolling. Indiana's schedule, for example, and really all of college basketball about to get into December. And whether your team took place in some big early season games or not, big ones are coming in the month of December. There's no way around that. College football, of course, locally, we've got some teams headed to bowls no matter what happens the rest of the way in regular season. Pro sports, if you're a fan of pro sports or you really get into it, it's obviously there with NBA and other stuff. Just a great time of year, and maybe this is the time with holidays where you actually get a few moments to pay attention to some of the stuff or watch some of the stuff that you don't normally get to. But for sports fans locally and beyond, this is, to me, one of the best times of the year.
It is a great time of year, man. It's one of those times that you get to enjoy the game. You can enjoy it with your friends. You can enjoy it by yourself. It's Feast Week. You know, ESPN, there's going to be games on all of the time. Whether you're an Indiana fan or a Kentucky fan, Louisville fan, Purdue fan, you're getting to see teams throughout the nation compete at a high level against other high-level teams. So it kind of gets you into that mood, you know, as it starts going over December where it really throttles up, and then in January when league play starts. It's fun. It's a great time, you know, to sit back, enjoy it, get some snacks, you know, get some honey-baked ham, kick back, make you a sandwich, and enjoy your game. Now, after that, you got to make sure you get in that treadmill, though, Matt, because you can put down a lot of snacks and a lot of food real quick. But it's a lot of fun. It's one of those things that I think you and I look forward to every year.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest, with us each Monday talking local sports. Chad, appreciate you, the job you do. And I hope that people understand you're not just an athletic director, assistant principal at Charlestown High School, but you also do a lot of work with the IHSA, and there's lots of meetings and lots of due diligence that you have to do with that position. So we're this area grateful to you for representing us well, and I know that you care about high school sports all the way around. It's not just about Charlestown High School, but it's about Southern Indiana. And we share, like a lot of people that listen to this program, I think a great pride to our areas and our local communities and people in those communities as well that make all of this what it is and make it all happen.
Oh, Matt, you know, it's something that I take that role seriously, and it's something I want to represent Southern Indiana to the best of my abilities and do what's right for all our kids down here and represent this area with a voice that can be heard for all our kids. And, you know, that being said, football state finals this weekend is going to be a lot of excitement. I hope people can tune in and watch this. But, Matt, you got me with all the feels right now. I got to say something real quick that, you know, just a happy Thanksgiving to everyone, Matt. And thank you for everything you do for Southern Indiana, making it special at all levels. And for everyone listening, you know, make a difference to someone this week, whether it's a family member, friends, just a stranger. Do something that makes a difference this week.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, catch you at a game soon. Appreciate the chat. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Amy. We'll talk again next week.
Appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for the run.
All right. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. This is the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports. The Hoosiers tonight at 8:30, tip-off here on the Big X.